Thank you, sister. Praise God for his grace and mercy. Amen. And some of y'all got that look of panic and terror in your face. I'm not preaching tonight. So you can put a smile back on. Brother Parsons, come on up here. Brother Parsons is going to preach to us tonight. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 18. Jeremiah chapter number 18. And I know it's Bible study night, but I might preach. And let me get all wired up here tonight. Let me say, I want to invite you to the Fall Festival. I know it's been announced already. Let me, it'll start at 6 o'clock. Let me just plug it a little bit by saying this. It's inception. I know that you may, if you're coming because you want to support the college, I want you to come for that reason. But the reason the college is putting this on is for our church people. And this is our thank you to you. This is what we want to do for you. We want to be able to have a time where you don't have to work, where you don't have to man a booth like it's Anniversary Sunday, but you can come and just enjoy yourself with your family and just let the college work and serve you, okay? And so I hope that you understand that that's our heart. I hope you'll participate. Is this thing on, brother? I got to turn the switch on. Amen. Preacher would be upset with you right now. Am I on now? I see now. They keep shaking their head now. There was a preacher just in the, down at the mall now. Amen. Y'all can't hear me? They just keep it turned off because the last time I wore this thing, I took a speaker out there or something. Amen. Amen. But but our preacher, he's going to do something special. How many of you have been here long enough to know our preacher likes to have fun? Amen. I believe he's going to feel good enough. He told me that he wants you to come and try to figure out. He's going to be in disguise on Friday night. So he wants you to try to figure out who he is and where he is out on the field. So you come and enjoy not only all the different games and everything that will be going on there, but enjoy that as well. From 6 to 9, the chili and all those things, we'll be having a kind of a place to feed you. That's if the college makes anything from it, it'll be from that. But all the games, we want you to come out and enjoy yourself. Something else we'll have, we didn't say much about, but how many of you remember going to the old-time festivals where they had a car and you beat it up with a sledgehammer? Amen. We're going to have a car bash out there. Amen. Anything you can knock off of it, you get to take home with you. All right. So, amen. And if you're like me and you used to have fun beating a car up with a sledgehammer, and now you just enjoy watching other people do it. Amen. Amen. Watch, there's nothing like a kid swinging and missing and hitting his shin. Amen. Amen. That's not going to happen. We're going to wear shin guards and helmets and we're going to be safe. I'm just kidding. Jeremiah chapter 18, if you would. And let me say our Bible conference is coming up as well. I pray that you'd come. I believe that there's never been an age and a time we can't ever get enough Bible. Amen. We can't ever get enough. The theme of the college this year is the theme of our conference, at thy word I will. And we just want to be able to just get some more of God's word and go out and do what it says. Amen. And that's what the conference focus is, to encourage. We've got some of our graduates coming back. And that's kind of something that I really would like. And Pastor and I talked about it. And we'd like to see it be a time. Many of you have been here long enough, invested yourselves and a lot of our graduates in it. The Bible conference, we want to be able to uplift you and for you to be able to get spiritual gain from the Word of God, but also a sweet time of fellowship with people that you haven't seen but have been doing it for years that graduated our college and be able to bring them home. And so we'll have some of them. I talked to how many of you know Brother Vince Buttons? Vince Buttons, I spoke to him today on the phone. He'll be with us. And so some of them will be here to preach. Brother Rex Carringer will be preaching in the night service, been doing it a long time still from here in Florida. And then they'll be in the day sessions. We'll have a lot more of our local men that are graduates that will call from the floor. So if you can make the day sessions, I pray you enjoy it. All of you that can and don't have something that'll keep you too busy or you can get away from it, you will enjoy it. Those guys, the quartet of our guys that sing, they just are good. Amen. And we got a good group of guys that sing right now. Not that the girls aren't good. The girls are good too. Amen. But the guys are really good right now. And I've asked them to sing some fun songs to open the conference. So we reach back to some old inspiration type music. And they're going to open the conference each day with some of that. So you come and listen to them and have a good time. It's a good reason to get up by 9 o'clock and see the sunrise and have a couple cups of coffee before you get there. And now we should get in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter number 18. Jeremiah 18. I want to pray with you tonight before we jump into it. And I've got two different parts. I want to read through this and make some preaching comments if I could, and then get back into really what I want to deal with the Christians if I could, us as believers tonight if I could. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings, and I thank you for the opportunity to just be your messenger boy. I thank you again for calling me to preach. I thank you for putting me in this place to serve. I thank you for this great church that we get to be a part of. And I pray, dear God, tonight that you'd help me to just be your messenger boy and just do what you've told me to do, just the word that you've given me from your word I could just do, just get me out of the way and just speak through me tonight. Dear Holy Spirit of God, do what I cannot do. Go into the heart of the believer and encourage them tonight. I pray that you'd help them, convict them if they need convicting. Do the work that only you can do in the heart of the believer. I pray, dear God, tonight that you would be with my preacher, that you'd heal him and that you'd continue to heal him. And I thank you for his courage. I thank you for his vision. I thank you for all that he's been for us here. And I pray that you'll continue to heal him up and keep him strong so he can continue to be that for us. I pray, dear God, tonight, you just use me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jeremiah chapter number 18 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up and to pull it down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now, therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart." Tonight, I want to just give you some, this is not my message, if you would. I want to go back to the beginning of the chapter. But here at the end, I realize this is speaking to the nation of Israel primarily. He even speaks and pulls that down into the tribe of Judah here. But I want you to see, if you would, going back to verse 8, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil. Look back, if you would. Even farther, at what instance I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up or to pull it down and to destroy. I just want to say tonight, my fear, more than anything else in this world, we know that it is not the world, it is not Hillary Clinton, it is not Donald Trump that will decide the fate of the nation. It will be God's people, whether we do what is right to do. It is not, listen, Jeremiah and his lamentations fell down before an almighty God and said, I have sinned before you. My fathers have sinned. We cannot wait for a lost and dying world to turn and repent to a God. Listen, it's time for mom, mom, and pop, pop, the great grandfather and the great grandmother to fall on their face and said, my generation has wronged an almighty God and that we need to repent before an almighty God. It's time for my grandparents to do that. It's time for grandparents. It's time for my generation, for moms and dads to fall on their face and take responsibility for their generation and say, my generation has sinned before an almighty God. God, I repent of the evil that I'm doing, that my generation has done. It's time for young people Those that are looking to get married. It's time for teenagers to take responsibility for your generation and come to a place where you repent before God. It broke my heart when I read this again and saw this all over again and just saw how God's man goes to the people and says to them, to God's people, and says, it's time to repent. God has pronounced judgment. You need to turn from your evil way. And God's people said, there is no hope. Because we love our sin way too much. I fear more than anything else that the day and age we live in. Listen, can I tell you today, there's hope. I found it when I was 15 years old. I got saved, and I got gloriously saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm on my way to heaven today because of the hope that I have in the blood of a risen Savior, not one that's dead, but one that's alive and on his way. Listen, he is coming back to get us. I've got hope. If I had no hope, of all men, I would be most miserable. I'd live a life that's for a king that would never come back. God help us. So many of us serve and give and go. But inwardly, if you were asked the question, you would say there is no hope. God help us. It's at that point and in this place that we need to repent. Repentance is turning away from one thing and turning to another. We live in a world today where even in fundamental circles, they've corrupted repentance and made it a work. They've corrupted repentance and made it something that it's a bad word. Repentance is simply, listen, I don't care what it is that you thought would help you be saved before you got saved. It's just turning to the answer. It's saying, I don't believe in my own works. I don't believe in my humanism. I don't believe in my Muslim. I don't believe in anything else but Jesus. It's turning to Jesus. Hey, it's time that the church turn back to the one that loved us more than anything else. The one that died for us more than anything else. Can you believe? Listen, it's time for us to regain hope in the only hope that we have. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Brother Parsons, that's good preaching. It's real easy to do too, friend. It's just walking away from everything else but Jesus. It's just dropping everything else but Jesus. I've heard preachers say it over and over again, and we get pricked in the heart about it. But listen to me now. We worry and say there is no hope, but how much have we prayed for our nation in this election? In our regular prayer time, or have you missed a night's sleep because you can't sleep? Because listen, there is hope. And the one that we need to be talking to, we're not talking to. You don't need to be on the phone line calling every Republican you can get a hold of. You don't need to be on the phone line calling every Democrat. Not that that will not help. Amen. We need every vote that we can get. But you need to get Jesus on the phone line and say, God, intervene in our nation. God, we're a wicked and adulterous people. Please forgive us and help me to win every soul that I can. Help me change every mind that I can. Help me be this Christian that I've ought to have been all this time. God, forgive my grandma. Listen, you know, we talk about way too much the good old days. You know, I was reminded, and I don't want to take anything away, and please do not think that I'm destroying my grandmother. I just went home a few weeks ago and for my grandmother's funeral, and I preached her funeral, and they had a collage of pictures going on a screen. I guess it's not a collage. It's one of the movie pictures, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. So they were having one of those things scrolling. And my grandmother was a saint. I mean, if there was ever anybody you could call perfect, that was my grandmother. And I mean, there's this picture rolled up when she was 19. And we lived not far from Ocean City, Maryland. And she had something on that she shouldn't have had on. And I said, that's my grandmother. Woo. I thought them was the good old days. I thought, you know, when they went swimming, it was a full dress back then. And I quickly learned that, you know, every generation has had a problem with dress. You can go back to the 30s and the 20s, and they had problems with it. You can go back to every generation, and every generation has had to come to the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ and get back and repent back to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not my message tonight, but I hope you can see this tonight. I hope you can, it'll take and break your heart, because I really believe that across our nation, we have a bunch of defeated, saved people that have said in their heart, there is no hope. When it takes every one of us, or one of us, just saying, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. It's not my righteousness, friend, it's his righteousness. Amen. I can't save myself, I never could. Amen. It's not my trusting in me, it never was that. Our nation was not found on a group of men who trusted in their own power or in the power of their army or in their own might, but in an almighty creator, God, who could do anything. If they just begged him hard enough, if they just fell down on their feet and said, God, we can't do it on our own, do it for us. Do it in spite of us. I don't know about you, but man, I get discouraged every once in a while. You ever been discouraged? Amen. I work with college students. Amen. You know, you get discouraged every once in a while in the ministry. And you know what your prayer will be? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. But you know, Sunday, I was up in the teen room with a bunch of bus teenagers. And I sat beside a boy I know is lost and dying and on his way to hell. I know it. I talked to him. I watched him grip the chair and would not walk. I knew he wasn't ready to be saved. Talked to him about it. How can I pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus, when I know he needs to get in? How could I pray, Lord, I'm ready, when he's not? That's our hope. The hope of this generation is the ones that rode the bus in Sunday. The hope of this generation is Christians realizing the game is not over yet. It's deep in the fourth quarter, and the quarterback of our team has an arm like no other quarterback has. Amen? And we have put him on the sideline, but now if we reach out and we say, just send King Jesus out on the field, do you realize he can change this whole thing? Do you realize that this whole thing is about a nation, about a marred vessel, a vessel that was made for honor and for the use? And I believe if you even put into this picture an America that was made to spill out the gospel all over a globe, that nation is marred. Broken. Marred in the hand of the potter. But I believe that I have a God that can remake it. And not make it the America of yesterday. I don't even know if I want that nation. I want a better one. I don't want what we had before. We had mistakes at the beginning. I want the America that God could make us if we really just humbled ourselves and prayed and seeked God's face and begged him to make an America that was not great again, but great. You say, our nation was the greatest nation on earth. Listen, I'm here to tell you, listen. We still have never seen what a nation truly given to God. Listen, that day will come. There'll be a millennial kingdom. And Jesus will be set up, and that'll be great. That'll be a great nation under God. But until that day, I believe God could make us right. He can make us anew. I believe we serve a God of second chances. How many of you could say tonight amen to that? Amen. Amen. Has he given you a second chance in his life?
Yes.
Go back with me if you would. I don't want to preach hard at you all night. Let's go back if you would. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 1. Let me make some applications to the Christian tonight if I could. To the personal believer, that personal salvation you hold. The word which came in verse number 1, Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. I believe for our nation to be repaired, that individuals in that nation have got to be repaired. Just like a church has different people and different, it doesn't, you know, What good? We'd all want to kill each other if every one of us was the same. Amen? Amen. If I was like you, I'd want, oh, man. Amen? Amen. He knows I love him sometimes. All right, so, but you know that we serve a God that if every one of us repented and sought God's face, that he could make each one of us new. And we would have renewed vision to see people saved like we've never done before. We would be a witness and a light. Sometimes I believe that I burn the candle at both ends for all the wrong reasons. What good has come from burning the candle at both ends? I decided a long time ago that I was not going to rust out in the ministry. I was going to wear out. But what am I wearing? Am I being profitable? Have I humbled myself and prayed? Have I sought God's face? Or am I just spinning my wheels? You ever ask yourself that? Am I just spinning my wheels? You know, all it does is burn tread off your tire. You never get nowhere. I want to get traction. That's why they put traction bars on them cars that spin wheels. Preacher would like this. Amen. If he's listening tonight, he's like, amen. Traction bars. Amen. He knows what I'm talking about. The rest of you need science. Amen. But I want you to see the potter's house, if you would, in your own life. The potter's house, God is the potter. It's his house. I remember a day when I wasn't in God's house. I wasn't in God's family. I didn't get inside the door. I was just old, dirty, common clay that was still out in the world. But there was a day that God sent somebody to tell a nobody about Jesus, and I got dug up out of the world, and that old dirty, no good clay got brought into the potter's house. I didn't deserve to be there. I didn't do anything to get there, but man, I got in on something that was the best thing that was going. Amen. And I got inside the potter's house. But you know, that wasn't the end of the Christian life. Do you know if you went inside the potter's house, if I could illustrate it tonight, I don't know, I wasn't there. This is written a long time ago, but if I was Jeremiah and I went inside the potter's house, I believe you'd walk in the door. And the beginning of a potter, he's got to have a big old pile of clay. Now, where I come from, there's gray clay. Now, I know that further south, there's old nasty orange clay, and y'all can have it. All right, so, but you know, I mean, that old gray clay from where I come from, it's a lot like the potter's clay of even today, making vessels and different things. But it still, when you dig it out of the ground, it still comes with rocks and dirt and all kinds of nasty stuff in it. And even, listen, when I got saved. God forgave me of my sins and I got in the potter's house, but I wasn't all cleaned up yet. Right. Amen. I was full of dirt and full of rocks and full of sin and things that needed to get out of my life. And I remember the day I decided I didn't want to stay that way anymore. I wanted God to work in my life. And he took me from that common lump of clay that got inside of God's house. And I decided to be separated. And I got separated to another table, away from the common lump of clay. And I began to get separated. And God started to take things out of my life. It wasn't a great process. You ever seen anybody knead dough? You ever seen anybody get, you know, people that really care about it. I mean, they're punching it and rolling it like this. And I'd be like, I would hate to be that dough. Do you know what the Christian life is about? We all think when we get saved and we get inside the potter's house, everything is going to be good from here on out. No problems, no money problems, no issues. It's not like that. Can I have amen? It is not like that. And especially if you decide to get off of that table and be separated and start to get cleaned up, God starts to knead the clay. And he starts picking stuff out of your life and starts to beat the rocks and he starts to mold and starts to really grind that thing. And why is it a hurtful process to us is because things have got to get out of our lives. And we like those things being in our life. But God begins to work before we could ever get on the wheel, God has to get those things out of our life. Before we could ever get shaped up to be a vessel that can be used, things have got to be worked out of our lives so that we can be used. I want you to see this, if you would. This is something that God gave me here He says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. A potter's wheel there wasn't a generator running the electric potter's wheel like today. But when you say wheels, it gives me that plural mentality, and God is wanting to work in our lives, and all three parts of God are at work in the believer's life. He wants us to be what he wants us to be. He wants us to get on the wheels, if you would. And if you can even imagine it, the old-fashioned potter's wheel was run by a treadle. And some of you old-timers know what I'm talking about. The rest of them, I'm going to have to teach a class on it later on. But if you can imagine the old-time sewing machine that had a treadle on the bottom, and it actually pumped that needle, sewing needle, up and down, that's the way a potter's wheel would have worked back. And then there would have been three separate wheels to make a gear to run the top wheel of the table. Two wheels, a gear, and a treadle to pump that thing and to make that thing go. And the beautiful picture of that is once I got coming to God's house or in the potter's house and I got inside on salvation, then I decided to get separated and to begin work. Then I could get on the wheel and be made a vessel that the potter could use. Think about this now. You know, one of the greatest things that it takes to mold that vessel, even though it seems to be clean, because it took out all the big things. When I get on the potter's wheel, it has to stay soft. It has to stay pliable while God is working, or the potter is working on that clay, and he pours water on that thing. And he pours water on that thing, and he pours water on that thing, and keeps it moist. Listen, he pours water on that thing, and he pours water on that thing, and he pours water on that thing, and he pours water on that thing so it can stay pliable. Do you know why? Listen, I believe I'm on Wednesday night, and I'm in a crowd that came into the potter's house and got in on the glorious, wonderful blessings of God. And some of us, most of us, because it's Wednesday night, decided not to be just like the world. We decided to get some things out of our lives and to get separated. But we get on the wheel, and there's no water. We get on the wheel, and when God tries to work, it's not that we want to rebel. It's not that we don't want to be a vessel. We're just not pliable. Because we're not in his word. And his word is a water. Listen, you want to break down doing something for God, just not be pliable. You know that there's not any day in the ministry since I've started doing anything for God that it's ever been the same. I've never run a bus route that was the same every week. I've never worked a job. I've never been at the college any day that it ever went exactly like it went the day before. I have got to stay pliable. You as a Christian have got to stay pliable. Do you know that every day you're going to be thrown? Listen, the darts that the devil that you ducked and dodged last time are not going to be the same darts to get thrown at you next time. And listen, sometimes we have a tendency. I have a tendency. When things are different and not just like they were before, because I am organized and I run by a schedule. I wish I could. I do show up. I do, but it's never the same. But you know what you better run a schedule on? You better have a scheduled time to get watered. You try to be a plant. There ain't never been the same exact tomato come off a tomato plant. But listen, that plant better be watered or else it won't put off tomato plants anymore. Hey. As a Christian, God does not want any of the vessels. He's got a plan and a purpose, and every vessel will be unique and have a job of its own, but every vessel needs water, or it can't be made what the potter wants it to be made into. It will get on the wheel, and just when it starts looking like something, when there's no more water, it'll be marred in the hand of the potter. Not because the potter doesn't want you to be what you ought to be. Not because there's not water enough to go around. Not because God's will is for you not to be at work and be the vessel that you ought to be. But just you didn't stay wet. You didn't stay in the Word. You didn't stay watered the way you ought to have been to be pliable, the way God needs you to be. Listen tonight. Look at this. It says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. You know, I've gone back. You all know my story to a certain extent. I don't want to go through my entire testimony tonight again, but I came to college at 30 years old. There was a little water under the bridge before I got here. I'd lived a few years. I served the Lord in a different place. And I came here at 30 years old. But you know, I spent some time in my life wondering what if. When I was an 18-year-old young man and I went off to Bible college and had surrendered to preach, I can tell you, I wasn't in God's Word. And I mean, they were putting me through the paces at Bible college, friend. They were in a hurry trying to make me what God wanted me to be. But there was no water. And the vessel that I was trying to be made into was marred in the hand of the potter. But I serve a great potter. I serve one that loved me so much that he sent his son to die on Calvary for me. And that in that book right there, it says that he would keep no good thing from me. If he would not hold on to his very own son, what other good thing would he withhold from me? If I would just stay wet and listen to his word and do his will and let him make me again. Listen, I spent a lot of time in my life what if and what I could have been. What if and what that vessel that he was working on the first time would have been in this life. I'm done what if-ing. I will never be that vessel. I can never go back. I can't ever be that again. But I know what he made this time. I know what his will is this time. And I determined this time I'm going to stay wet. I'm going to stay pliable. I'm going to be the vessel this time. Listen, I don't know who you are and where you're at exactly in your life and what you determined or where you started out at, whether you've been marred or whether you're trying to keep yourself from being marred the first time, teenagers. But I can tell you this, the key to all of that, can you imagine an almighty God that's got his foot keeping pace in your life and keeping speed because he knows you personally. He knows how fast you need to go to be molded and how slow you need to be molded. He knows just what curves you need and what you don't need. He knows how tall you need to be. He knows how short you need to be. He knows everything about that. And he's keeping speed and keeping both hands on that vessel in your life. He cares for you just that much. No matter whether you're a teenager or what age you are, God's got a plan for your life. And don't think, boy, Brother Parsons, I've been put in the oven, I'm baked, and I'm done. D-U-N, done. That's not good English. That's not good spelling. High school, all right? I'm done. God's not done with you yet. You're here for a purpose. Our preacher needs prayer. Our church needs prayer. You're not done. You say, what kind of vessel? God's working on you again. If you stay wet, God will take you. Say, I can't do what I used to do. God will use you. God will make you a vessel again that he can use. He'll find a new avenue. He'll remake you again. If I've learned anything in this life is I serve a God of second and third and fourth. I serve a God of many chances. And just because it's not going the way you thought it would go, don't mean God's not working. Amen. And just because you're not doing what you thought or you pictured it would be, that don't mean God's not working. And if you think, listen, can I tell you, don't waste the rest of your life what ifing yourself to death. Do something for God with your life, with what's left, with heads bowed and eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart, would you stand tonight? The pianist is going to come. Would you just come and do business with God? If you just want to come and pray for our nation tonight and say, God, help our nation. God, help us to repent and to be what you want us to be. Remake us a new nation. pianist is going to play. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Perkins. Brother Perkins, you take it, brother.